It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and the publisher of the Timberjay, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, and I don't always say it, but an independent newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. You know, we always really appreciate getting the news. It's not always easy to know what's going on in small towns. And that's where I want to begin today, a closure of a paper that has been around for 110 years.
Yeah, we're talking about the Journal in International Falls. It used to be the Daily Journal for many, many years. They used to publish 5 days a week here a few years back. They went to twice a week, and then more recently they switched to once a week. They were just weekly newspaper. And since then now, they announced just last week that they will be shutting down operations entirely effective June 24th. Like you said, it's been in operation for 110 years, but the management of the company indicates that the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and other factors have led to the decision to cease operation. The newspaper was acquired last year by Alden Global Capital. It's a Manhattan-based hedge fund, and they've been buying up newspapers and slashing newsrooms and selling off company assets of newspapers all across the country. And they usually seem to go for kind of short-term profits, often at the expense of the viability of the newspapers in question. And, you know, top management for the paper, they're not saying much about the decision to close the Journal, but though it certainly appears the decision was not made locally. And unfortunately, as more and more papers are being purchased by these big hedge funds like Alden, local decision-making is pretty much out the window, as well as the recognition that newspapers serve, you know, they have a community mission, and they're incredibly important to, you know, small towns. And so when they lose that, it's really a blow. You know, I think probably more so than in a place like International Falls, which is very remote. You know, there's no other newspaper really anywhere near there. I mean, International Falls is off by itself, a long way from anywhere. And the Journal, you know, has long served as the official newspaper for both the city of International Falls as well as Coochin County. And both of those local governments are now scrambling to try to figure out, you know, how they'll get notices out to residents. The local historical society, they're wondering how they're going to obtain obituaries, as well as the proceedings of local governments that, you know, they keep track of. You know, we often forget that newspapers not only report the news, I mean, they create a record that historians use, you know, routinely for a wide range of information. So the closure of the Journal is not just, you know, a blow. I mean, it's just the latest blow, really, to International Falls, which is still feeling the effects of the loss of 300 jobs at the Boise Mill back in 2013. Now, we don't know how many workers were still employed at the Journal because top management isn't saying. Outside of the Falls, there really isn't much in Coochin County other than a very small paper in the town of Little Fork. So it's not clear exactly what the county would do in terms of trying to publish notices. Some in the county say they're looking at some possibilities to try to entice a newspaper, you know, in the area to maybe come and serve International Falls or to start a new paper. There's also been talk about trying to start doing news just online so these people would have some source of information. I mean, you know, the thing that's it's disturbing is, you know, it's a big enough town. I mean, there's 5,500 residents in International Falls. You know, there's a substantial business community there. And how they are going to, you know, get word out about, you know, what businesses are doing, but also what the city government's doing, what the school district is doing to all of those residents so they can be informed and engaged. That's an open question at this point. The loss of the Journal is going to really, really be a blow.
Yeah, I feel like the work you do at the Timberjay, a lot of it is watchdog on the governments, you know, of the places that you serve. And a lot of towns don't have that. And now to lose that in a town like International Falls and kind of just all plays into kind of where we're at in a really politically divided world where people just go to the news they want to get, and you know more about national than local.
Right. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, too, because you've got these hedge funds that, you know, they are just looking at ways to, you know, make short-term profits. They don't, you know, they really don't care that whether these communities are going to be served in the long run. I mean, you know, this Alden Global Capital bought, you know, the journal. It was part of a group. It was actually owned by Red Wing Publishing for many years. And, you know, they just purchased them recently. You know, the people who make the decision on closing that paper, you know, it's just based on strictly on numbers. They probably couldn't find International Falls on a map. You know, and it's really sad when you have that decision-making, you know, completely taken away from the local area. And the other thing that we couldn't find out because they wouldn't talk to us is whether or not they ever made any attempt to find a local buyer for the paper. I mean, you would think, you know, at a minimum, you would try to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's part of what we're seeing, as you mentioned, all over, you know, with a city, an area the size of Duluth, Superior, for them to have a newspaper that's only 2 days a week is unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, it's stunning what's happened in the newspaper industry in just the last decade.
Yeah. Okay, we can't solve that one right now, but it's good to learn about, I guess. Let's move on to the PolyMet project involving the EPA and the Fond du Lac Band. What's new there?
Well, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency has sent notification to the Fond du Lac Band near Cloquet and the state of Wisconsin, alerting them that the proposed PolyMet copper nickel mine may affect, and this is in quotes, may affect, this is actually a term, their downstream water quality. And this may affect notice, which is spelled out in federal law, is the first step in a process that could eventually lead to modification or invalidation of PolyMet's federal wetlands permit, without which the mine couldn't go forward. That permit is currently suspended, pending the results of this upcoming public proceeding, which will happen now that this determination has been made. There will be a public hearing, and this is required by law now that the EPA has determined that this could affect downstream waters. And what's interesting, in federal law, it indicates that the EPA must provide notice to any state that whose downstream waters may be affected by a project like this. And under the definition of a state, that does include Indian reservations. So that's one of the reasons that Fond du Lac, you know, has been provided this notice. And they actually had to go to court to obtain this notice and to have this process go forward. They had three times urged the EPA under the Trump administration to issue this may affect finding, but the agency had failed to do this. So they took Fond du Lac eventually sued, and a court in February found that the EPA had failed in its obligations. And now the EPA is reverse course and has agreed to make the determination and go through this proceeding, which could take several months, possibly more. Now, Fond du Lac officials contend that the wetlands permit and other related permits aren't protective enough. That's an argument they've made for years, but up until recently, they've been largely ignored by regulators. They're more optimistic now under the Biden administration, which has shown a greater willingness to consult with tribes on a number of issues, including environmental concerns.
All right. You'll keep us updated, right?
For sure.
Well, another story I want to talk about, I'm just going to say one word, and what does it mean to you? Extremes.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we've had. It's been really one of the most bizarre stretches of weather, I would say, over the last few months, really, that I can ever recall up here. And in just the last 2 weeks, and I think we've had unbelievable heat, you know, record-setting heat. We've had record-setting cold. We've had drought. We've had torrential rain. We've had hail. It's been really pretty bizarre. And you know, normally the first week of June up here is, it's normally pretty wet. You know, June is usually our wettest month. It's usually on the cool side, you know, temperatures in the maybe in the upper 60s, low 70s. So not, you know, not that summer heat that tends to come in later. But, you know, that's not what we've been seeing. I mean, June is usually not a time of year when we worry very much about fire danger. You know, the plants have leafed out, and once things green up, you know, the fire risk diminishes quite a bit. Typically, that really hasn't been the case this year. I mean, we've got in parts of the area, fire dangers ranging anywhere from, you know, high to extreme, depending on whether or not they've had any little bit of rain recently. So this is unusual. I mean, we're watching a number of small fires that have broken out due to lightning strikes in the boundary waters. One had grown to about 20-some acres here as of midweek, and, you know, this kind of growth is highly unusual this time of year, and the only reason it hasn't grown a lot more is because the Forest Service and other and the DNR have been hitting it hard with aerial water drops. Otherwise, any of these fires could have been off to the races. And you know, it's unusual. A lot of times, they will allow, especially this time of year, they might allow a fire to burn in the boundary waters. You know, a lightning strike fire, just because it's part of the natural, you know, forest succession process. But you know, this. Given the conditions that we're seeing right now, they're knocking these things out as best they can, although it's difficult. You know, you have to do it by air, and a lot of times you can't completely snuff a fire just with water drops. You have to get crews in there to, you know, dig the fire out of the soil in many cases, and, you know, it's hard to do because most of these lightning strike fires in the boundary waters especially, they're not near any travel route. I mean, they're just kind of, you know, that random where they show up, and so it can be, often be very difficult and dangerous to get crews in there. So, you know, they're dealing with them the best they can, but this is definitely going to be a problem, I think, for the foreseeable future. I mean, this is really unusual, this kind of weather. I know I talked to the state climatologist, Pete Bouet, and he said that never has there been this much heat in Minnesota this early, into June. I mean, like I said, this is normally a relatively cooler part of summer, and we had temperatures, I know in International Falls here just the other day, it was 98 degrees. Huh. You know, that is unbelievable. And parts of northwestern Minnesota have topped 100, you know, so this is really extraordinary for early June. So this could bode... well, I don't know what it bodes. I hope it doesn't bode a very, very hot summer.
Yeah.
But, you know, it certainly is indicating that. And so we could be in for a lot of it this year.
Yeah. We've been recommending jump in a lake as often as you possibly can during this time.
For sure. And the one sad thing I will mention is the hard, hard freezes we had here.
Yeah.
The last few days of May was probably really bad news for, you know, the blueberry crops up here because they were, in many cases, in full flower, and that hard frost, I'm sure, really was damaging. So that will have impact for us blueberry pickers and probably also impact on bears. You know, they rely on a lot of those berry crops, and I suspect a lot of them were quite damaged as a result.
It's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read, see more, see how to subscribe to the Timberjay newspaper at their website. It's timberjay.com. Thanks for your time, Marshall.
You bet. Thanks, Heidi.
So underneath the concrete sky, Lucy puts her hand in